Populated establishment, but rather one of those cozy, dependable neighborhood havens frequented by men who had known one another all their lives. The proprietor would have liked to enlarge upon his regular clientele, but he didn't know how. Until one day, a new 1940 Ford pulled up in front of his bar. A man got out from behind the wheel of that car and stood there looking through the tavern window for a moment and then spotted the owner and waved. The proprietor smiled and beckoned the man inside. The visitor was an acquaintance named Bruce Thomas. The barkeep, who had not seen him for quite a while, asked how things were going, and Bruce grinned and said he was about to make his tavern owner friend the offer of a lifetime. And then Bruce asked, "What kind of beer do you serve here?" The proprietor recited the brands. "And do you know what kind of beer they're serving across the street?" Bruce responded. "They're serving the same beer." "Well," Bruce said, "what you need is something different, something nobody else offers that'll draw customers from miles around." "What was Bruce suggesting?" the barkeep asked. And Bruce, grinning again, much wider than before, said, "Wrestling." The tavern owner flashed a quizzical expression and then shook his head. "Wrestling matches here in the bar?" But Bruce nodded. 2 hours worth every week, customers would flock to the place, and Bruce could make the arrangements. "For tonight, if you want," Bruce assured him. The men shook hands, and that evening, Bruce's promise came true. While the wrestling matches were still going on, word was spread, and by the second hour, that tavern was packed. But this is the rest of the story. The next day, Bruce visited the bar across the street, and he warned the proprietor of that tavern that his competition in the neighborhood was getting stiff. "They've got wrestling matches going on over there," he declared, pointing out the window toward his friend's now busy establishment. "Well, you're getting way ahead of me now." Sure enough, within a month, there was scarcely a bar in Hackensack that did not offer its customers weekly wrestling matches. More than 150 taverns in all. And the promoter of those events, the mastermind behind one of the cleverest marketing campaigns in media history, was 36-year-old Bruce Thomas Dumont. Bruce Dumont, a salesman for his brother's manufacturing company. You see, in 1940, Bruce had a product to sell which almost nobody would buy. Until he got his product displayed in the town's taverns. For it was not live wrestling the bar patrons were watching. The wrestling was behind the bar on a screen. And thus, for 2 hours every week, wrestling was visible all over Hackensack, New Jersey. And from that beginning, the public appetite was whetted for a costly, clumsy, cumbersome invention called television. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
All right, so Darcia Stebbins is back. We don't know how much time she has before they come after her, but I'll finish one quick thought on where we were before the break, and that was about the Calais versus Louisiana. That whole lawsuit was based off of racial gerrymandering, and there's a nexus to when you read through the lawsuit that's been brought by the California Republican Party. There's a nexus to the lawsuit that was filed the other day, and that's because when the California legislature issued a press release announcing that Prop 50 creates two new districts to, quote, empower Latino voters to elect their candidates of choice, that was a quote from the proposition, adding them to the pre-existing 14 such districts, the legislature characterized these 16 districts as Voting Rights Act districts. So one of the arguments the Republicans are going to make is that When you look at Texas, you look at what's going on in Louisiana, that's likely being overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. Prop 50 is kind of following along those same roads.
And that's one of the things that even in the question, thank you, Kenny, for going solo there for a little bit.
She's alive. She's well. There are no bumps or bruises. We have somebody stationed
at
the door.
Yes, I was on official duty for a little period of time, and it always takes longer than you might possibly think. But with Proposition 50, the Texas lawsuit, in the Texas case, they were ordered to redistrict. And that was because of racial discrimination. And we thought we had a call come in, but I think that is on a different line. But that was based on racial discrimination. And then when we have the official ballot for Proposition 50 coming out, what it was described as, and in the actual question itself, indicated that this was in response to Texas's partisan redistricting. So making it about partisanship, meaning Republican Party, Democratic Party, Green Party, Libertarian, about the party rather than about any kind of racial discrimination. So we'll go to the phone lines. We have a caller, and you're on the air, caller.
Hello there. Hey, I know you'll be able to talk a long time on this, and I got three things I want to bring up, and then I'm going to turn you loose.
And you might be able to talk a long time on things, too.
Hey, so when Gavin Newsom was first being recalled, you needed 10% of the voting public, and right before that recall, he gave $600 to everybody to buy him off to not recall him. And then he changed it to 20%, and we knew that because a couple of people that I know were there trying to recall Bruce Gibson. Then we have this whole thing called the United States Constitution that never mentions democracy. It only talks about a representative government, a Republican government with representation. And so I'm trying you to figure out, and you look at all the counties that voted that were going to get slammed, they had a really great turnout, and the ones that weren't going to get slammed had it. So we have 58 counties, so why doesn't every county just get one vote for what they want their representation to be? My last thing is taxes versus tariffs. Tariffs is a stick. It's a penalty. You're doing something wrong. We want you to stop it. We're going to tariff you and penalize you. And if you decide not to do it, then you don't pay a fee. A tax, we don't get a choice. It's 100%. We don't get a choice whether we want to do it or we don't do it. So you got the floor, Darsha. Go.
Well, I'll definitely take number two, and I don't mean that figuratively or literally, I guess. But the second item that you brought up, so Article 4, Section 4, we go through this a lot, but thank you for bringing this up. It talks about representation, and the representation in the U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, think 44, four by four. So if you're trying to remember which article in the Constitution, just think a four by four truck. How's that? Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government. And second thing, shall protect each of them against invasion and against domestic violence. And no, I agree with you. Nowhere in the Constitution does it talk about democracy. And the whole purpose of a Republican form of government is that the minority is represented and protected by law. And that's what we don't have in the state of California. We have a supermajority in the state Senate. We have a supermajority in the assembly, in the state assembly, and we have two senators representing California, and we have nine out of 52 congressional seats that are Republicans, even though there's close to 6 million Republicans.
Darsha, we have 58 counties, correct? And out of those 58 counties, if each county took their electorate and had a vote in their county, and then each of those counties took their vote like electoral college vote, what would happen in the state of California?
The state of California is red. Has been.
Well, it would change. It would definitely change the make of the state Senate.
And still is. And so what happened with the state Senate was the Reynolds versus Sims decision. And Debbie Arnold was talking about
what
that.
What year was that? It was the 60s or the 50s?
I'm going to say 1964, but that doesn't seem correct.
Right,
I think it
That's
was
safe
50,
guess.
I think it was 54. But Reynolds versus Sims was when they made the state senators representing, instead of a county or land or resources, that they were then also representing the people. And that was one of the fundamental things in the Constitution. The Founding Fathers said, we need to have some form of representation for each state where that those two senators represent the entire state, regardless of population. So Connecticut, Rhode Island, Delaware.
Let me ask you right there. So without a senator representing a county and multiple senators or one senator represents multiple counties, our counties, every one of them is different, obviously. Certain counties represent a majority of people that don't provide anything, and certain counties provide everything. So we have certain counties that provide our water, provide our timber, provide our fiber and food, provide everything, and they have no representation.
That's correct, Greg. And you know that I've gotten involved in the new California state movement for exactly that reason.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Don't play devil's advocate.
Because
please, Kenny. He doesn't need any help.
What the left is going to argue is you have representation. You just don't like it.
Well, no, I don't. I don't, because I just heard that some lady was going to retire. And I think, hopefully, when she gets on her broomstick, she flies up and picks up her nephew. And they fly away. And I would like to throw a bucket of water on her and melt her.
Well, Greg, we can only help. She has served 40 years as a congresswoman. That would be Nancy Pelosi. And she has represented her district. And it can be argued that in that district, there are more Democrats than Republicans. So I guess you could say that.
Look at the problems in that district. And she came from Baltimore. And look at the problems there. And look at the problems that everywhere with these certain people. And I go back, and I don't even know how many people remember this. We're all a bit, certain people are against guns. Yet, San Francisco and that whole area killed Kate Steinle with an illegal having a gun. But they didn't do anything against that guy. But they're worried about the new people. They're worried about the other people. And what Kenny was talking about earlier before you got here was, which I think is, you look at the demographics of certain areas, if you put a bunch of refugee Somalis in a certain area and they take over an area, what do you think they're going to do? If you infiltrate New York with so many illegal aliens that overtake, I'll just call them the regular people, what do you think they're going to do? Look at London. Look at these different places. What time do you put your hands on your knees and pull real hard?
Well, you know, to shift gears to that topic, you know, this is another reason why I got involved in education and the school board is our public education system is no longer interested in creating citizens, which is one of the, you know, the main reasons why a public education system was established. You look at New York City, and again, Mondami the Commie when you break out, when you look at the breakout of those demographics, most of those, most of his voting base are immigrants. And they are people that have not, that we, the United States of America, have not tried to educate on becoming an American. Now, if you look
at... they don't want to assimilate. And so...
they don't want to assimilate.
As far as a Tascadero, or, Paso Robles School Board member.
I'm sorry.
You have a, one of your other members, Nathan, I don't remember his last name.
Williams.
And his claim to fame is, I guess he was a fireman for so long. He's on a disability pension for working 15 years from the city of San Luis. I'm sorry. If you're disabled, what are you doing, and why do you want girls to change with boys, and what kind of a fireman were you? I'm sorry. I worked 30 years for L.A. City Fire Department. I went and respected. How could you be an EMT or anything in a medical person and not know the difference between a boy and a girl?
I think when they have to give descriptions of what kind of person they're working on, it's usually one of those is male or female. We're not sure.
Can I change back? I don't want to go.
Anyway, Greg, hey, you have a statistic that I think is really representative, pun intended, of what we have going on in our county. And you were able to get the statistics as far as the taxes that come from the rural unincorporated areas versus the taxes that are paid by the cities. And if you could give that information.
That's what I love. Yeah, I love about it. So people choose to live in the rural area, and it's great, and they don't deserve anything less than the people in the other areas. But there's 25% or less of the population that live in the rural areas, but they pay 50% of the county budget. So do the people that pay 50% deserve less representation or less benefit than the people that pay the other 50% that are 75% of the population?
No and hell no. Okay, yeah. Can we thank you for, I remembered that it was a 25, 50, 75%, but I wanted to hear it from you, and I know that you have the numbers, and that's what you were able to determine. So when it comes to the water resources and the Paso Robles Cooperative Committee.
I got those numbers from the assessor's office.
Tom Bordenaro?
Tom Bordenaro's office. They're not. This is what I love about all of this stuff. These documents are out there for everyone. I've just done the research to collect them, look at them, and see what they're what they provide to show the people that we're not asking for more than what we're paying for. We're not asking to not give something to somebody else, but everybody has to contribute. I understand that there's a now there's a some kind of a Brown Act lawsuit violation in Atascadero about busing the kids for 4 hours, and I'm like, how can it cost less to bus kids for 4 hours than to hire a teacher and just teach them where they're at?
Exactly.
I'm going to bring up a touchy subject. Darsha's got, she's giving me the evil eye already. But, you know, when we start talking about this, these topics, you know, of local taxes and representation, I look at what is possible and feasible versus, you know, the long range goals of things like New California. You know, what if we as a it had ballot measures where we started looking at redesigning the state map? If you look at the map of California, there are 58 counties. You look at the map of Texas, there are 400 counties. So you have, you know, if you go back to that model where you're going to have a senator, and, you know, by the U.S. constitutional model, prior to 1913 and the 17th Amendment, the senators were appointed by the state governments with the duty to represent the interests of the government. The representatives were elected directly by the people to represent the interests of the people. If you looked at that, that was the same model that existed in California prior to Darsh's guess of 1964, which is probably a good guess. But why aren't we looking at things like redesigning the municipal maps? Obviously, let's take San Luis Obispo County. Greg, you probably know better than me, but I suspect the majority of the population lives below the grade. It's a much more urban area. And this is one of those situations where I would argue you have the tyranny of the majority, whether it applies to your water, whether it applies to your taxes, stuff like that. Oh, she's right. No, she looked it up. It was 1964.
I might be right. It was 1964.
You know how San Luis Obispo was able to grow?
Thank you, Greg. How is that?
Because they took the water from the Salinas Reservoir, North County's watershed, because they had not enough water to grow. So what are they paying for the benefit of taking that water that was the recharge water for the Paso Basin? They're paying zero. And so the Army did it because of World War II, and things happen, and
that,
whatever.
That was for Camp San Luis Obispo, right?
What are they doing to correct these issues? And then when I look at senators, to me, are in an area looking at what is the beneficial thing for the state that area is providing to the state, where the representatives are looking, what do the people need?
That's exactly correct.
There are certain senators that could be over certain areas that provide the same kind of stuff. Are we providing food and fiber? Are we providing timber? What are we doing, and why do we need certain rules? And we've got a new problem.
Hey, Greg, we're going to let you go.
That we need to talk about on a whole nother show, and it's a fly that's going to infestate our livestock and kill our livestock industry. So,
All right, Greg, thank you so much. Thanks for your call. We're going to a break from our hear from our sponsors. Please support these sponsors.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
GoDaddy must fork over $170 million to Express Mobile. A Delaware jury finding that the internet domain seller infringed on two patents belonging to Express Mobile. Akamai Technologies stock surging Friday. The cybersecurity and cloud computing company's sales and earnings for last quarter topping analysts' estimates. Archer Aviation shares nosediving Friday. The air taxi maker posted a less-than-expected third-quarter loss, but announced it had sold an additional 85 million shares. IKEA posting a sharp drop in earnings for the past year, with net profit plummeting 32%. Wall Street ending Friday on a mixed note, the Dow gaining 75, S&P 500 finishing up 8, NASDAQ ending down 49. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
If your cash is sitting in a savings account, it's at risk. Old school advice says save more, but today the strategy is broken. When inflation spikes, they print money or cut rates, your dollar shrinks. So do your savings. The solution? Own something real. Physical gold and silver. When the dollar drops, gold and silver prices rise. And with Noble Gold, owning gold is simple. Just visit noblegoldinvestments.com and chat with a specialist. The knowledge is free. The protection is priceless. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your financial advisor before making investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
From Paso Robles wineries to Atascadero's storefronts, the right display transforms your property into a holiday destination. Guests stay longer, spend more, and share in the experience. The holidays aren't just about light. They're about memories those lights create for your guests. I'm Aaron King with Slow Holiday Lights. We provide a red carpet holiday service so your business can shine without the stress. We handle everything you need to make this holiday season the most memorable yet. This season, roll out the red carpet for your guests and make your business the place that everyone remembers. Look us up at Slow Holiday Lights. That's Slow Holiday Lights.
Holidays are just around the corner, and if your family is coming to town, give them the gift of comfort and beauty at Allegretto Vineyard Resort in Paso Robles. From vineyard views to luxurious rooms, festive dining, and special holiday celebrations, Allegretto is the perfect home away from home, so your family doesn't overrun yours. Make this holiday season memorable and welcome your loved ones with the warmth of Paso Robles hospitality. Book now at AllegrettoVineyardResort.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
So I want to kind of continue on some of the stuff Greg brought up, and that is, who's looking out for the overall interests of communities in our political machine. And this kind of leads into my growing concern over civility within the process, whether it's on your local school board or whether it's in Congress. I am afraid that we have crossed the Rubicon and that we are entering into a period of probably protracted political violence. You had two assassination attempts against Trump. You've had the rhetoric increase to such a high pitch that there's little discussion between the two sides anymore. And you got to ask yourself, was this by design? Was this just the natural progression of any political debate that it eventually breaks down into arguments? I think a lot of it is been by design. Personally, I think it's grown over the years. But a couple of signs of positive light. When you look, for how many years now have we been told the world was going to end at any moment because of global warming? 30.
Well, it's usually 20 years out. So yeah, whenever it's brought up, it's 20 years from now, the world's going to end.
When I was in the seventh grade, I remember my weekly reader talking about us going into this ice age. Now, I lived in South Georgia and it never snowed, and I was pretty excited about it because I thought we were going to start having snow days.
Didn't it snow in Atlanta a couple times?
It snows in Atlanta, but not down in coastal Georgia. So it's been going on. That's 50 years ago, practically. And, some of these things, people on the left are starting to wake up that, yeah, we sound like a bunch of crazies. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, I had to look it up. Crossing the Rubicon, that was Caesar making a decision to cross the river in a battle that he now
He overthrew the Republic.
Okay, so when you say crossing the Rubicon, you mean we've made a change that we're going to have to live with from here on out.
Yeah, at that point, so in ancient Rome, the generals were not allowed into Rome. They were not allowed to cross the Rubicon, and that was the purview of the Senate. And
the river
Rubicon runs through the middle of Rome. And so when Julius Caesar brought his armies out of Gaul, present day France, and marched on Rome, usually there was always some negotiation between the Senate and whatever the legions were that were ticked off. And you never crossed the Rubicon. But he, eventually crosses the Rubicon, establishes himself as the dictator, gets taken out by Brutus. I think Mark Antony takes over after that. But it begins the Civil War, essentially. So when I say cross the Rubicon, it means there's no going back.
Over the falls, Fonzie has jumped the shark.
Thank you.
Now I know.
All right. And so when we want to talk about, all right, you know, the gloves are off, there's lots of different expressions in that phrase. But really, essentially, what we're getting to is here we are to have 9 Republican representatives in congressional seats. And now, as Prop 50 has been called, by the way, at 8.02 p.m., 2 minutes after the polls close, here in our county in San Luis Obispo, we still have almost 40,000 ballots to be counted. And I'd love to hear from people that went into the polls on Election Day, you patriots, thank you. What your experience is, what happened, what you had your, what happened with your asking for a precinct ballot, or whatever transpired at that precinct, good and bad. I had lots of reports. I personally was going around, observed probably 15 different precincts, mostly North County, and had other people doing the same. And I especially wanted to congratulate and thank the precincts in Shandon who stepped up and got enough people there and actually had extra people that they could help send to Atascadero. But they had the Shandon precinct was open the entire day. And I made a special visit to Creston precinct at the Creston Community Center because their lights were shut down November 24 election. Their lights were off at 6:30 p.m. So I was there 6:30 p.m. to make sure they had lighting in order to be able to place their ballots, and everyone was good there. And at San Miguel Community Center, I thought they did a great job. That's my voting precinct. Thought they did a great job of being willing to call down to the county when I didn't have my ballot with me and make that call and give me a precinct ballot so that I could vote in person on Election Day. And those still are the only votes counted here in our county on Election Day. We have a call. Welcome to Sound Off.
Well, hello, Darsha. I want to tell you what happened to me. I was in Santa Margarita polling, walked in with my ballot, and requested a precinct, which they handed to me right away. And the lady asked me to sign the envelope of my mail-in ballot. And I said, no, that's not correct. I am not going to sign the envelope, the mail-in envelope. And this is after they've given me the precinct ballot. And the two ladies there obviously were very confused because why would I sign my mail-in ballot? I said, no. I said, I didn't even need to bring this in here. I just brought it in here to surrender it, and it was intact. You know, obviously I opened it to double-check my location, but I said, no, I'm not going to sign that. There's no reason for me to sign that. That's not correct. I said I was a poll worker for years, and I know that I am not to sign my mail-in ballot envelope. And she finally relinquished her position and just sat down, and I just walked over and voted in person and left. And I just wanted you to know that that's what happened in Santa Margarita polling place, which was totally irregular. Why in the world did she want me to sign it? And it was just crazy. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that.
So. Absolutely. Thank you. You get a gold star or maybe a red, white, and blue star, as the case may be. But you're correct. If you're signing for that ballot, is the signing of the voter roster. So you are on that roster. If you've been assigned to that precinct, you make sure that you're at the right precinct number, and you should be on that roster, and your signature that they verify now, they didn't used to verify, but they do now, that signature that's on the voter roster is you signing that you are that person and that you are eligible to vote and that you are placing your vote. So you're correct. You do not have to, you have one or the other, either a precinct ballot or a vote-by-mail ballot. And every vote-by-mail ballot must have a signature. And what they were doing to me was confusing some people when they'd come in and they had their return envelope, not sealed, not signed, and the ballot, and they'd say, do you want to vote that ballot? And then people are kind of confused saying, okay. So they would have them fill out the vote-by-mail ballot, stick it in the envelope, sign and date the envelope, and drop off that envelope. It's so easy, right? And those vote-by-mail ballots still have 7 to 10 days of processing, opening, signature match, opening, laying flat, etc., before they are counted, which is what I've been saying now for a long, long time, 4 years.
Well, one of the good things about this election was its practice for next year. And so next year, if you're going to surrender your ballot, put a big X over it or vote the way you want. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you. I had an interest. I voted in Pastor Robles at the Highland Church there. And I've been in this area for about 5 years. And my experience is interesting because I have worked the polls and elections in another county. I've done that quite a bit in various capacities. Anyway, I did not request, but I was sent a ballot in the mail, and it kind of aggravated me because I like to vote in person, and I did not ask for it. So what I do when I get something like that, I remove the ballot and I scribble all over it.
Yep.
Because that won't make it through their AI system. And I left the envelope at home. I did not bring the envelope with me. I read the directions really well. It said to bring in the ballot and surrender it. So that's what I did, but I did not bring the envelope with me. And so when I got there, I surrendered the ballot. Like I said, I, you know, kind of scribbled on it. And they were a little bit flustered. One lady was pretty flustered. She didn't know what to do. But what ended up happening is that they gave me a ballot there, and I signed on the sheet. You know, my name. Mm-hmm. My name was on there, so I put my signature on there. And then I went to the stall, and I voted. And then one lady, I guess I kind of had gotten her attention. And she came over, and she had me pull off the so-called receipt. And I pointed out to her that the numbers that were on my receipt to keep did not appear on the ballot itself. And she pointed to these little dots that were all around the border of this ballot, saying, "Well, this is the numbers right here." So that was to be read by AI, you know, not by me. I couldn't read, you know, that. I know there's a name for that kind of thing, but I don't know what it is. It's computer stuff. But anyway, and then she had me, then I put it into the gray box, and she pointed out to me that there were three numbers on my ballot that I had filled out, and it was going into a box that had those same three numbers on it. And so I put it in there, and there was another box also. It was there's a gray box and a blue box. And what was kind of interesting to me, and she explained how the three numbers indicated, I guess, my area that I live in or something, and why
yes,
that was
precinct.
Necessary for this
the precinct
election, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't know what the other box is for, but the other thing that I find kind of curious is that the way they lock these boxes is with that kind of a plastic thing that they use for handcuffs on people.
Zip tie.
Yeah, like a zip tie. But
it's
not exactly a zip tie, but it's a unlockable, flexible tie, and it has a number on it, and it can't be reopened.
Well, I didn't see a tag on it, and it looked to me like that it could be cut easily, like easily, a zip yes. tie. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when I had worked, I had been a, what do you call it, supervisor or
inspector
at a polling place. Yeah, at a polling place, and when we finished up in the evening, two of us escorted the box.
And we're gonna have to. We have about 20 seconds, and we have to wrap it up. So what happened there?
Okay. Well, anyway, we delivered it directly to the county, and there was a receipt signed.
Yes.
That's about it. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for your experience, and I'll after the break, I can give a little bit of an update on that and try to walk through the process. Thank you.
We're here to help. At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
So we're going to continue with our lesson from Dr. Darsha on proper ballot handling.
Thanks, Kenny. So as the music goes, we are post-election, but I promise every single person out there, there's still a lot to be counted. And I've said this time and time again. If you went into the precinct and voted with a precinct ballot, the results are already out. Unfortunately, there weren't as many people willing to do that. A lot of the precincts were trying to discourage people from actually going into the precinct and getting a precinct ballot. they're asked to just drop off your ballot right here. You've already got it filled out. Thank you so much for coming in. Did you get your sticker? And the precinct ballots were counted election night. I was down at the county, watched it happen. They're scanned in. Kenny's been down there when we had the special election. And Kenny, you saw the process. They come in from the various collection center areas in North County. That was at Highlands Church. Then those are the various precincts are collected together and taken down to the counties. There's actually a sheriff that helps to go behind the vehicle, and it was a U-Haul truck this time, U-Haul vans. And so a sheriff vehicle transports those ballots down to the county of San Luis Obispo clerk's office on Monterey Street. And then they get, you make sure that there aren't any tears, that those precinct ballots can go through the tabulators, and they are scanned in and tabulated that night. The count is done for the precinct ballots.
So
any vote by mail ballot dropped off at the precinct is in process.
Got it. So let's talk about what you think.
40,000 more ballots.
Okay, so then give us a prediction. What do you think the numbers top get these three numbers? We'll write them down and next week we'll update them. But what do you think the total voter participation rate is going to be?
For by party?
No, overall.
Overall, well, it'll be somewhere near 120,000 because we've counted 80,000 and there's 40,000 more to go.
Percentage of total voters. Give me a percentage rate, like 60% participation rate?
Yeah.
So that's what you expect overall. All right. So I'm writing that down. I'll have it as a note. 60% total participation. What about by party? What do you think it's going to be?
So I think it will actually be higher by the Republicans if we had an actual true count. And you know
You can't do that. Because now you're saying that no matter what, the number is going to be
Well, we have
wrong.
More registered Democrats in this county than we have registered Republicans.
Yeah, but that's why I'm asking for a percentage.
So if 80% of the registered Republicans show up and vote, we win every time.
I got that, but it doesn't look like that happened. So what I'm asking is, what do you think the total percentage of Democrat participation is going to be in total percentage of Republican participation is going to be?
I think it'll be close to about 50%, maybe 55% of the registered Democrats. And I think Republican will be higher than that. I think 55 to 60%, but you'll end up that, you know, even if it's 52% yes, and or 53% yes, and 47% no, there are no write-ins and there's no other options, so it's a yes or a no. There are even some ballots that are undervotes where nothing was voted. It's a blank ballot, and there's some votes where both of them were selected. So, but it's a very small percent. This is a yes or a no. And my prediction is we'll end up somewhere close to about 52 or 53% yes.
Okay. I think it's probably going to wind up being higher. I think it'll probably be closer to, I think it'll be closer to 60 yes, 40 no. But I, my predictions, total participation, I suspect it'll probably be around 60% of the total registered voters. I think Dems is probably going to be closer to 60. I think the Dems are going to have a higher number than the Republicans. That's my prediction.
I think they needed to.
I think, well, yeah, they, but I think when you looked at their game, you know, as one of the callers mentioned earlier, you had commercials with the great and wonderful Obama. They put a lot into this, and I think because you have such a high degree of underinformed people in this state,
on both sides,
but we were the underdogs in this race, I'm not happy with the turnout. We knew that we had to have all hands on deck, and if we had as you said, if we had had 80% of our registered Republican voters show up and vote, you know, we'd be celebrating right now, but we didn't.
Well, before
and that's the question that we need to be asking ourselves.
And saying, you know, so you have to realize that our area has more, our county has more registered Democrats than registered Republicans.
Yeah,
and the Republican Party.
By 5,000.
I know the Republican Party is working very diligently, and we've made quite a few different reforms. There is information coming out, and yeah. Donald Trump on Tuesday said,
"Don't go down this road again."
The whole California
is under investigation.
Proposition 50 is under review. You can't necessarily say it's under investigation, but before the Republicans are beating themselves up, that's exactly what you want to do. They want you to do, and
well,
I'm optimistic, and I believe that we are winning.
I don't agree with that's what they want us to do.
We have to get out.
I think
vote.
What they want us to do is be apathetic.
Yes.
And say that.
And hopeless.
And say that, well, it doesn't matter whether I vote or not because I'm going to lose. That's what they want us to do. What they don't want us to do is sit at the end of the battle and say, okay, what worked and what didn't work and how are we going to kick their butts the next time? Which I don't see happening very often in this state.
I'm here to say in our county, if we had even five people in line to get a precinct ballot, with people show up in person and get a precinct ballot in our county, that makes a huge difference. So I'm calling on every single conservative, registered Republican, no party preference. I know there's a lot of no party preference people out there that are disgusted with the Republican Party. It's what we have right now. If we can just look at it and say we want representation, we must and we deserve representation, when a person shows up in person, it makes and sends a huge message. And so when you see your friends and your neighbors, and I called around, I made sure that people who might not be able to get to the polls had already voted or wanted to get a ride. And if everyone does that and has 5 to 10 people that they know get to that polling place, it makes a difference and it will win. It's at some point it goes over the top and the physical presence makes a difference.
If wishes are fishes, it's better to have a plan. And you know, that's what we got a year. This was a practice run for the county. It had no impact on us.
June 2nd, I believe, is the primary.
Okay. Then we got 6 months, which is not any better. But
has anything changed in the last 4 years?
In the county? In terms of what? Number of voters, registered voters. Did you look at Andy Caldwell's daughter's article?
I did.
What I would like to know is what's going on in Ventura, because that Republican Party, they've registered a whole bunch of people. And I was the kid that, I won't say I copied or cheated, but I always looked to other people's models and see what they're doing and figure out how to emulate it. That's something I would really like us to look at. Hey, we're running out of time here quickly, so I want, before Darsha cuts me off again, I want to give a shout out. Veterans Day on Tuesday. Thank you to everybody, my brothers and sisters who served, and particularly to the United States Marines out there on the 250th anniversary. If nothing else, if you're not gonna do anything else in terms of civic duties, vote, because that's what a lot of these veterans served for, to make sure that you have the right to go and participate. So as far as I'm concerned, apathy is the biggest enemy right now in the state of California. And the sooner people step up and start realizing that, the better. But have a great Veterans Day.
And I will also put in a plug for New California State that will be having an election noon to 4 at Uncle Ed's Outfitters on Veterans Day 11/11. So you can go to the Faces of Freedom. There's an event there. Thank you, veterans. Thank you for this great and beautiful country. We'll do everything we can to keep the Republic.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.